Okay, good morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud. We're in the middle of the Gad, the Gemara is discussing the destruction of the Mishkan Shilei, then the first and second Beis HaMikdash, really comparing the first and second Beis HaMikdash to each other. We'll continue the whole Amud Aleph, today also a large Amud. We'll continue in Agad, they're related to these ideas, and then from the bottom of Amud Aleph through Amud Beis and into tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to focus on the dinim of Mezuzah, specifically whether there was mezuzah on the Lishkas Sanhedrin and the different chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, and general discussion about which places may or may not need a mezuzah, places of Kedusha that are not necessarily places of dwelling, they need a mezuzah. That'll be the focus of the second part of today's daf and tomorrow's, the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Okay, so we left off, we didn't quite finish daf Tess yet, also a large daf. We left off, let's go back to 10 lines up from the bottom of the page on daf Tess on the base, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Let's pick it up from Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish, says Gemara, Reish Lakish, remember, we're both comparing the difference between the first and second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilad Reish Rechazavim and Avodah Zarah. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Says the Gemara, Reish Lakish, Havi Sachi B'Yardena. Reish Lakish was swimming in the Yarden. Reish Lakish was from Baret Israel, and he was swimming in the Yarden. Also Rabbi Chana came. Rabbi Chana was from Bavel. It's key to the story. He came, and as Reish Lakish was leaving the water, he helped him, he assisted him, yada yada, gave him a hand to help him out of the water. Amalei. Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Chana, Elei kasanina lechu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates you, meaning hates people from Bavel. That's one taich. Others want to say, Rabbi Yaakov was saying what he mean, but what he's saying was, he was saying, Lashon Shvua, Elei kalak, Elei kim, I hate you. Okay, but either he was saying, I hate you, but not so much they hate him personally, but either HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates Babylonians, or I hate Babylonians. Why? Says the Mar Dechsev, Imchaim hei nimna leh tishas kasef, imdelasi natsur ala luch arus. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, it says, if she's a wall, then we'll build on her silver crowns. If she's a door, then we build on her a cedar panel. What's the deeper meaning of the Pasuk? If you had made yourself like a wall, v'alisim kluchim mei Ezra, when it came to coming up from Gullus, Bavel, Teretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra, at the end of the Churban, in between the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, when it came to coming up for Bayis Sheni, had you all come up like a wall, what's the idea of a wall? So Ben Yaakov explains, a wall is you take a bunch of bricks, you put some cement, some mortar in between them, and a bunch of different bricks becomes one unified wall together. So too, if Klai Yisrael came, all the different people came up unified as one, Teretz Yisrael, for the Bayis Sheni, then you know what would have happened? Then it would have been built, the building would have been compared to, Nishalta Kesef, would have been compared to a silver binyan, She'ein Rekav Sheloba, which has no decay. Silver doesn't decay. However, Achshav, Shalisa Gudlasis, but you came up like doors. What's the Mashal doors? So Rashi explains, because we're talking about, let's say, we have a gate. We have an entranceway with it, which has a gate, which is gated with two gates. So it's very common to have one gate open and one gate closed. You have two gates, one gate left open and one gate's closed. So it's a concept of being partially open, partially closed, which is a reference to only part of the people came up from Bavel. Not all the people came from Bavel. Since only part of you came up, so the merit was that the binyan will not be like Kesef, but rather it's like cedar. Achshav shal alisim kidlasais. Nimshaltim keres, you're comparable to cedar. Sheharekev shelud by, it's like cedar, where cedar is subject to decay. Metal, the silver is not subject to decay, but metal, cedar, wood is subject to decay, and that's why the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't as strong. It was subject from the beginning to decay. It was known it wasn't going to be everlasting because of the way Klai Yisrael approached it, because they didn't come up all as one. They only came up. Only part of them came up. My eres, what does it mean? You're comparable to cedar. Amrula samsagar. Comparable to cedar means it's comparable to cedar that could be hollowed out by the sasmagar. Thank you. Sasmagar. Sasmagar is a worm that burrows through wood. So basically, you're left with a hollow shell. You have the outside's remains, but the inside gets hollowed out. So too, the second bias was a little bit like a hollow shell. Says the Gemara, my sasmagar. What's the mushel? Very nice. We understand that sasmagar is this worm that hollows out the cedar. But how is that comparable to the second bias? What's the nimsh? What's the mushel? Amar Abba Baskal. It refers to the Baskal, meaning Kitani Mishmesa Neviim Achreinim Chagis Haramalachi. When the end of Neviim, when the period of Yom ended, which is at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, Chagas Chayim Lachi, Nistalka Ruch Kedesh Mishrael. No more Ruch Kedesh Kaiso, Vadayin Misham Shem Baskel. But he still had the Baskel. The Farshim explained, they elaborated this, and they explained what's going on over here is that after the Churban of the first Bayis, which was based on Shvichas Damim, Gila Arayas, Avodah Zarah, so Kleiser was on a level that they weren't able to get back to, even when they had a second Bayis, they weren't able to get back to the same Bayis with the same level of Kedusha they had the first time. And therefore, we know in the second Bayis of Mikdash, there was no Nevius, as we just referenced right now, there was no Mu'arin, no Ma'arin. A lot of the Nisim that took place, we discussed the other day, that some of the Nisim that took place didn't take place in the second Mayas. It came up recently about, we had a question. Why be Mafresh the Kohen Gadol before the Yom Kippur 7 days, a whole topic that began in the Masechta? I lechayra, one of the Nisim that took place is that there wasn't Ira Psul in the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. It wasn't Ira Psul. You separate them in order, they shouldn't come to a Psul. We have a Nis. One of the Nisim were that a Psul never happened. So one of the explanations we gave was that was only Bayis Rishon. Bayis Sheni didn't have the Nis. A lot of the Nisim took place in the first Bayis didn't take place in the second Bayis. It didn't have the same Magusha. The idea is because it was more of the shell. It had the walls, the outside, but it didn't have the same loftiness after the Averis that destroyed the first place of Mikdash. Unfortunately, Kaisel, even though they were zeichet to come back, they weren't zeichet to come back on that same level, and it came back as a shell. What's interesting over here is where Rish Lakish used to be saying is, had they all come back as one, then maybe that would have helped create more similarities between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The fact that they came back fragmented, only some of Kaisel came back, others didn't rush back, that created that there was even a more starker distinction between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Further, says the Abibis, the Maral, that says that because the saving grace of Kaisel and Bayis Sheni, Lamaisa was their Achtas. They didn't have, remember, coming on the heels of Gilarai, Shvich Damim, and Avodah Zarah, those are the big three Averis that caused the Chorban of the first bias. It seems like they were fully better by the second bias. So what was their saving grace? Their unity. Even though they didn't all come back up, but unity was the saving grace. Hence the reason why Sinas Chinam, the second that became an issue in Bayis Sheni, that led to the destruction of Bayis Sheni, because their whole saving grace was their Achdus, was their unity. Without that, the second bias was destroyed. That's the Maral in Netzach Yisrael. Okay. Says the Gemara further. Reish Lakish has a technical problem now. Reish Lakish was, in the story that we just quoted, was speaking to, had a conversation with Rabba Bachana from Bavel, and he gave him some rebuke about the Babylonians who didn't come up properly by the second bias. But the problem is, Reish Lakish wouldn't speak. This story was in public. Reish Lakish in private would speak to anyone. He didn't have airs about him. He wasn't a Bagaiva. But in public, he was very particular who he spoke to. And then first, we actually give reasons behind the idea behind why he was very particular who he spoke to in public, is because Reish Lakish originally, we know, he started off, he was a bandit. He used to hang out with people that were not so ayayay. Of course, he was Chayza B'tshuva. His brother-in-law, Rabbi Yechanan, took him for a husband for his sister, and he became of course one of the Gedel Adar. But in the street, Reish Lakish was very careful who he spoke to. Why? Because since he started with people that were surrounded with people that were terrible, and then he changed his ways, and it became clear that he only would surround himself with people that were chashiv. It became a thing that whoever Reish Lakish spoke to, if Reish Lakish spoke to you, that means it's a stamp of approval. And then Reish Lakish ran into the problem, because if he didn't know someone, he wouldn't speak to them, but his not speaking to them would be an insult that the guy doesn't have a stamp of approval. It became like this ongoing thing. So Reish Lakish in the street would speak to no one, except for like the Gedalia, the Gadol, Shabbat Gadol of the Dar. Otherwise, someone that universally was accepted to be a person of good reputation, he'd speak to in the street. But other people he wouldn't speak to, because it ran into too many issues of either insulting people or giving people false recommendations, and therefore he didn't speak to people in the streets. That was the general policy. The question is, if that's the case, Reish Lakish, mi mishtayim, when he talked to Rabbi Chanan in the street, Rabbi Lazar, the Mar Dar Yisrael Havi. Rabbi Lazar was the Mar Dar Yisrael. He was the leader of Eretz Yisrael. Havi, the Lord Havi Mishnah, Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish still wanted to speak to him. What sense was Rabbi Lazar the leader of Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara tells us in Nidah Daf Chaf that Rabbi Lazar was the biggest bucky, the biggest expert in determining the different maris of dam, the different shades of the blood, whether there's different shades of blood, different shades of red, some are tame, some are not. He was the biggest expert. He was Mar Dar Yisrael. So he got the title for being the biggest expert, and still Reish Lakish won't even speak to him in the street. So says Gemara, why not? Anyone who's found to have spoken to Reish Lakish in the street, that person has such a stamp of approval that you could lend them money, you could deal business with them without even aiding them. That's how kosher that person is. So Reish Lakish didn't want to either give people, obviously Reish Lakish was someone who was worthy, but he either didn't want to give people who weren't worthy that status, or he was scared to insult people if he didn't know who they were, and he's not going to speak to them. So it became a general policy not to speak to people in the street. So then why is he speaking to Hadi Rabbi Bachana Mishtoi? He's in the street to Rabbi Bachana. The question to Mar really just asking is, Rabbi Lazar seems to have been the leader of Yisrael, higher Madrega than Rabbi Bachana, and Reish Lakish wouldn't even speak to Rabbi Lazar. So Kol Shekein, it doesn't make sense that he spoke to Rabbi Bachana in a public area. Amra Fapa answers, Shadi Gavrinayu, throw in another person amongst this conversation, meaning, Ay Reish Lakish, Irish Lakish Havi Uziri. Say the story happened with the Shlakish indeed, but it was with Ziri. And Ziri, the Mefarshim explained, was a universal, everyone knew about him, he was famous, universal gadol, and therefore Reish Lakish speaking to him, I mean, it wouldn't matter for the stamp of approval, but it wouldn't be an insult to anybody else because Ziri was famous, and therefore the fact he spoke to him wouldn't be an insult that he speaks to Ziri and not other people. That was one possibility. I keep Rabbi Rechana is part of the story, and take Reish Lakish. Rabbi Rechana, Havi for Rabbi Lazar. Say it was exactly those two. Say it was Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Rechana, and not Reish Lakish in the story, but you have to amend the characters of the story, otherwise you run into a technical issue of Reish Lakish would not have spoken to Rabbi Rechana in the public area. When Reish Lakish came in front of Rabbi Yechanan, so he mentioned over this memra that the Shechina was not as, the Shechina did not rest in the second bias like it did in the first bias. They only were able to connect through Baskols and not through actual Nevi'as. Amar Lei, Lav HaNetaymer, Shabbat said, no, the reason why the Shechina didn't rest is not because what you're saying, because the people above it didn't come up. That's what you're saying the reason is. So Shabbat HaNetaymer, that's not the reason. Inami Seliku Kulub Me'ezra. Had they all come up Me'ezra, like you wish they did. Lahavi Shari Shechina Mikdash Eini. The Shechina still would have not have been in the second Mikdash. You know why? It was predetermined that it wasn't going to happen. Tichsiv Yafte Leikim LeYefes VeYishkan BaLeShem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should grant beauty to Yefes, but he's going to dwell in Ali Shem. The first base of Mikdash was built by Shlaima Melech, a descendant of Shem. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu dwells in Ali Shem. The first base of Mikdash. The second base of Mikdash was built by Paras, by Persia, right? Right, by Paras. Since Paras, who's a descendant of Yefes, yes. Yafta the Kim Yefes is going to be beauty amongst the descendants from Yefes, namely the second Beis Hamikdash. But the Shechina will dwell only Baal Hashem in the first Beis Hamikdash. Says Gemara top of Gidom and Aleph. Gemara spells out. We just spoke out the next lines. Afal Gav the Yafta the Kim Yefes. Even though Hakadosh Baruch Hu granted beauty to the descendants of Yefes, the Persians who were able to build the second Beis Hamikdash was Zeicha. Ein Hashechina Shayre El Baal Hashem. The Shechina dwells only Baal Hashem, only in the tent of Shem, the descendants of Shem, namely the Mikdash was built by Shleima Melch, the first base of Mikdash. Once we discuss, we take what we're saying that the Persians, Yaftal Kim Yefes is referring to Persia, right, who built the second base of Mikdash, Yefes Shrei Purim, so Paras Amadai, so we're just going to make proof that Persia is Taka descendant of Yefes, says Gemara, and we're going to go through a little geography, a little historical history, lineage and geography in the Middle East, because in order to get to this idea that the Persians, Shtam, they come from Yefes. Uparsim and Alandim Yefes Kasu. How do we ask the Gemara? How do we know that the Persians come from Yefes? Tachsiv, Bnei Yefes, the children of Yefes are Geimer, Umagag, Madai, Umadai, Vyavan, Vesuval, Umeshech, Vesiris. Siris is going to be the key one. Siris is going to be another name for Persia. We'll see. Geimer Zeh Gamamya, some of the Girsa Gamanya. There's different Girsas by the Gemara Bechlal. So, I mean, you can read, I'll read the Girsa that we have in front of us, even though it's very clear. The Goyen and the Bach, they make certain edits to this Girsa. So, first of all, Gamamya, the Goyen switches to Germania, which sounds very much like it's Germania, right? Okay, so Geimer ze Germania. Magog, I'm reading the way our Gemara has the Gersa without breaking in the Bach. The Bach changes, one of the Goyen changes. Magog zu Kandia, Madei zu Mekundia, Yavan, Kemashma Yavan's Yavan is Greece, Tuvel zebes Unki, Meshech Zemusia, Tiras, now here's one that we need for our purposes, Tiras, Pligi Rav Simai, Rabbanan, Amila Rav Simain, which is Rav Shimon, Rabbanan. That's a little bit of a shout out to Shkolim. We had Rav Simon is Rav Shimon and Shkolim at least a dozen times in the 21 blot. Here we have it again. Rav Simon, Rabbanan, Chadamer base zu base Trakey, Chadamer zu Paras. Tiras Machleik is what it is. Machleik is between two Mandam. We're not sure who says what, but one of them says it's base Trakey, and one of them says it is Persia. That's the Persia that's referring to. So Persia, which is Tiras, we're saying, which was a descendant of Yefes, pretty clear. Says the Gemara, once we're talking about these other nations, if you have in some of the Gemaras, they bring a whole map to show where all these places are located. But what's interesting is that based on the way we describe, based on the different places that we're about to describe in Persia, Persia actually extended, the people that were called Persians extended, really wrapped around the whole area around Eretz Israel. Says the Gemara, Savta Vrama Vesachta, among the sons of Cush, right? Cush was Ben Chum. So among the sons of Cush were Safta, Rama, and Safta. Tani Rav Yosef, Sakisa-san, Gavyasa, Sakisa, Braisa. These are, we're talking about the inner Sakistan and the outer Sakistan. Ve'chada, l'chada, me'a Parsi. Between the two Sakistans is 100 Parsa. So it's a very far distance between the two Parsas. Ve'kifa, alpha Parsi. And the circumference of the outer one is 1,000 Parsa. And that's all considered, these are all considered descendants of Chum, of Cush. Ben-Cham, these are all descendants from that lineage, and they lived in the vast amount of land over there. Since the beginning of his kingdom, so Nimrod was Bavel, Erech, Akkad, and Kalne. Bavel Kamashmai, Bavel is Bavel, as we know it. Erech zu Arichas is Arichas, Akkad zu Bashkar, Akkad is Bashkar, and Kalna is a Nefer Ninfi. It's a place called Nefer Ninfi. The first discussed that maybe it's a town called Nipur that was 100 miles to the southeast of Bavel. That's the town today, maybe a. I'm not sure what's on today. Okay. So it's a town called Nipur. Min ha'aretz ahi yatza Asher. From this land came Asher. Now Asher, by the way, is machlokes if Asher is a person or a place or both. Tanya Rabbi says Asher is a silik. Rabbi says Asher is silik. Asher is a place called silik. Even as Nineveh, v'eschuchav his ear, v'eschkelach. And he built Nineveh, v'eschuchav his ear, and kelach. Nineveh kemashmai. Nineveh is literally Nineveh. Nineveh is the main city of Asher. Rechavis Ir is who pras to Meshan. Rechavis Ir is referring to Pras of Meshan. And Kalach is who pras to Bursif. And Kalach is referring to a place called Pras of Bursif. That's Res by Nineveh and Kalach. Here, Ir Gdela. And Res, which is between Nineveh and Kalach, which is a great city. Res is Kathesifan. Res is a place called Kathesifan. Here, Ir Gdela. Enedem, Nineveh Gdela. When it says here, Gdela, is going back on Nineveh, or is it going on Resen? In Resen, Ir Gdela. Kishu Aimer, Nineveh, Heis, Ir Gdela, Lekim, Mahalach, Shashem. When it talks back, of course, in Yaina, we've learned this in Kippur. When it talks back in Yaina, it says that Nineveh was the Ir Gdela of Mahalach 3 days. So I know this Pascal refers to Ir Gdela. It wasn't referring to Resen, it was referring to Nineveh itself. Havi Aimer, Nineveh, here, Ir Gdela, Nineveh was the great city. Visham, now once we're on the topic of these different cities located in Psukim, we explain also that the Pasuk says, Visham, and there, Achim and Sheshitama Yili Anak, over there were the Achim, and this is talking about when Kalev arrived to Hebron, right? This is by the Meraglim. And they saw there was Achim and Sheshitama, these descendants, Yili Dehanak of the giant. Tana, Achim and Yimishab Achim, Achim means the strongest of those brothers. Sheshit Shemesh Vasarts, Kishis, Kishachisais, the Shesha, because he would crush the earth underneath him, would be like ruins. He was such a giant, when he stepped on the ground, it would crush the ground beneath him. Similarly, Talmai, Shemesh Besarat, Talmai Klamim. Talmai was, the third brother was called Talmai, because the earth underneath him would be like furrows. When he walked, he created like different rows of furrows under the place where he stepped. Davar Acher, Achiman Beis Anas, Achina Bana Anas. Achina built Anas, Sheshai Bana Olush, Sheshe built Olush, and Tamei bana Talbush, Tamei built Talbush. Yilid Anak, what does it mean, Anak, the children of the giants? Shema'nikim Chama b'mkermasim. Because they were so tall, it looked like a necklace to them, the sun. If one looked up at them, they were so tall, these giants were so big, the sun looked like it was, appeared to be like a necklace around their necks. That's how tall they were in the sky. Amr Shibu Levi, Amr Rebbe, Asidu Ramesh Tipa B'yad Paras. In the future, Rome is going to fall into the hands of Paras. Back to our topic that, again, Paras was the one that built the second base of Mikdash. That's going to be relevant in this conversation. Paras built the second base of Mikdash. Rome is going to fall into the hands of Paras. Why? Shinemar, because it says, L'chein Shimu Atzas Hashem Ashiyadz El Edoi Machshveis of Edoi, of course, is Rome. Machshveis of Ashechashav El Yeshveis Heman Im Lo Yischavim Tzi'iri Atzayin, if not that the Tzi'iri Atzayin, the young Tzayin, Im Lo Yasim Aleim Neveim. The youngest flock will drag him off. They'll devastate the dwellings. Who's the youngest flock? Youngest flock, we're saying, refers to Paras will devastate the dwellings of Edom. So Rome, Edom will fall into the hands of Paras. Says more Masal Rabbula, my mashma hatsiri tzayin Parasu. You're saying the pasuk, you're actually the pasuk that the young flock is referring to Paras, and therefore you're saying Rome's going to fall into the hands of Paras. What's your source? Tesiva Ayel Asher Isi Palakernayim. Because we have a description that the Ayel is of course a ram, which is of course from the family of sheep, and refers to Malchus Paras Madai. So therefore we're saying that Tzayin, which includes Ayel, refers to Malchus Paras Madai. Mars is not so fast. Ve'ema, but you can go the other way too. Ve'ema, Yavan, Tichsivat Safer, Atzayer, Melch Yavan. Yavan also is referred to, Yavan is referred to as a goat, but we know both goat and sheep are from the family of Tzayin. So if it's just refers to that, Rome is going to fall into the hands of the Tzayin. Who told you the Tzayin that we're referring to is Paras Madai? Maybe the Tzayin referring to is Yavan is Greek, because Tzayin can mean either sheep or it can mean goat. So yes, Paras is compared to sheep, but Yavan is compared to goat. Maybe it refers to goat. Kislak Rav Chaviva Bar Samarki Amr Kamei Dravu Rabbanan. He said Amr Lei Manlei Prishikari Meisiv Tuf to the Rebbe. Is it possible that someone who doesn't know how to teach Pesukim is asking a question on Rebbe? Might Tziri at Tzayin Zutru Dachai Tanya Beisiv Tiras Tziri Pras Tziri at Tzayin means it's referring back to the youngest of the brothers. Remember, Yefes had a bunch of sons. Yefes had a bunch of sons. Amongst them was Yavan, of course, and as well Tiras. Tiras was the youngest of the sons. Tiras, we said, refers to Paras. So it refers to the youngest of the sons, namely Paras, that Rome is going to fall into the hands of Paras. That's source number one, the pasuk we just quoted. Source number two, the same idea that Rome is ultimately fold in the hands of Persia. Rome is destined to fall into the hands of Persia. Kalvachaymer to fall into the hands of Persia. Why? The Mikdash Rishon was built by Bnei Shem, and it was destroyed by the Kazdim. Nuflu Kazdim yet Parsim, who ultimately fixed the first bias. The Persians built it, but also more than that, the Kazdim who destroyed the bias fell into the hands of the Persian. So the point is that the first base Mikdash, which was not built by the Persians, those who destroy it, namely the Kazdim who destroyed it, they fell into the hands of the Persians. So the second base Mikdash, which was built by the Persians, those who destroyed it, namely Romans, certainly fall into the hands of the Persians. Says Gemara, Mikdashani Shabbanu Parsim. And the chain which was built by the Parsiim, it makes sense. Vechrivu Roimim, and the Romans destroyed it. Ein Eden, certainly Shiplu Roimim Be'at Parsiim. If the one that the base mission was not destroyed, but which was not built by the hands of the Persians, those who destroyed it fell into their hands. So the ones that was built by the hands of the Persians, certainly, yeah, forget about revenge on behalf of Klai Yisrael, revenge on behalf of themselves, the binyan that they built was being destroyed. Certainly, it should be the Romans who destroyed it should fall into the hands of the Persians. Amar Rav. I see the Prashtim of Abraham. He says, no, it's exactly opposite. Rav Argus says, the Persians will fall into the hands of Rome. Rav Asi, the Rav, Banui, Batsasri, the builders are going to fall in the hands of destroyers. That makes sense. That the builders who built the base of Middash are going to fall in the hands of destroyers. He says, yes, Amalo, in, yes, Gzeris Melchi. Is Gzeris the king? He doesn't give an answer. He just says it's a gazir of the king. That's like gazir of custom, so to speak. The mice of the Binyo explains that perhaps there's a logic to the, I mean, of course there's logic, but perhaps the logic of the decree is as follows. The Gemara Rashan and Avdalad tells us that even though Darius or Kairish had the base of Midrash being rebuilt, he had it rebuilt in a way that it could easily be destroyed. He wanted to keep shlita over it, so he had it built in a way that it could easily be destroyed, that if they ultimately, when the base was destroyed by fire, he built in a way that it should be easily flammable and taken down by fire. Since it was built with that type of attitude, so therefore, yes, they built the base of Mikdash. Yes, it's Akash Zayv, a very chashiv, but Lamaisa, Akash Baruch Hu decreed that the Persians themselves should fall into the hands of the Romans, because to an extent the Persians also had a yad in the destruction of the base of Mikdash by building in a way that's easy to be burnt and destroyed. Ikadarmi, some say Rav was a little different. Amlu Inu, Namikal Kasashi, Bekinishta. Rav's response wasn't Gzeris HaMelech, that the Persians, even though they built the base of Mikdash, they should fall into the hands of the Romans, Tam Gzeris HaMelech. There's more to it. Rav said they destroyed Beis Knesses. Yes, they built the base of Mikdash, but they themselves also destroyed Shuls. And therefore, it's not a surprise that they fell into the hands of the Romans. Hayam Hachi, Asit Pras Tipa Bad Rami, then the future Pras, Persia was destined to fall into the hands of Rome. Chadus Hashbek Nisha, first of all, because they destroyed Shuls, like we just said. V'oid, Gzeris HaMelechi, Shibu Bainam Yat Seisrim, that the builders should fall into the hands of the destroyers, even though, ironically enough, the Romans Mamish destroyed the base of Mikdash, and the Persians built it. It's Gzeris HaMelechi, the builders fall into the hands of the destroyers. So we're really saying both ideas. First of all, they destroyed but the Knesset, they destroyed Shuls. And second of all, it's Gzeris HaMelech, which the way we explained Gzeris HaMelech was, because there was a little bit of a, they put in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash in their building, they put it in the ability to be destroyed also. Damar Vidam Rav, Ein Ben David Ba, it makes sense further that Persians have fallen in the hands of Rome, because ultimately Mashiach Ben David is not going to come until the Malchus Rome is spread out amongst the entire world. Tisha Chadash for 9 months. We'll see the 9 months. Well, let's speak of the pasuk. Shemar l'chein yidim ad eis yeleida. Compares to a leida. Leida is, of course, a birth. A pregnancy is 9 months. Yoldav yeser achav yeshuv al bnei Yisrael. He'll surrender them at the time of the leida. So the Mashiach, his brothers will return. The Klai Yisrael will be returned as leaders, returned to Israel as leaders of the world after a leida. What's the leida? It means at least 9 months of Malchus Rome running the entire world. So the first will explain, because the ultimate show of Klai Yisrael, of Kosh Baruch Hu, taking power, showing his power over the entire world, and Klai Yisrael taking back shlita over the world, is having someone else be in charge and be in charge of the entire world, like, let's say, in this case, Rome, for 9 months, and then destroying that leader, destroying that other country in charge. If the world has many different countries, many different leaders, in different places, it's not going to be considered the same strength to conquer the world from all the different people. So yes, till now we finished the Agadah, and from these two dots on, all the way through tomorrow's daf, we're focused on mezuzah based on that discussion of whether there was a mezuzah on the lishkas that the Kohen Gadol stayed in, lishkas pehadron that he stayed in the 7 days of sequestering. Tanarabanim. All the lishkas in Nazareth did not have a mezuzah,
aside from the Lishka the Pedron Shahiba based dear the Kaigat, because Lishka Pedron had a place for the Kaigat to stay. That's what we learned first in the first words of our Masechta, that 7 days before Yom Kippur, you mafresh the Kaigat into the Lishka the Pedron. And therefore, since it was a based dear for the Kaigat, therefore it had a mezuzah. Amar Rita Vele Kamalishka Yisayim Migdash, but the other Lishkas weren't for dwelling, didn't have mezuzah. Ask Rabbi Yehuda on the Tanakama. There were many chambers in the Beis Hamikdash where people would dwell and they didn't have a mezuzah. Ella, so he's maskim that Lishkas Pedron did have a mezuzah, but he say for a different reason. Ella Lishkas Pedron not al dira, but rather had it gzera. So al gzera. We'll see. The Gemara ultimately is going to explain what's the gzera according to Buda. The Gemara will explain it actually towards the bottom of Amud Beis, I believe it is. The Gemara is going to explain a gzera because we don't want people to think that the Kohen Gadol is being like kind of jailed there. He's being held up against his will. But having a mezuzah gives a status of like a more of a makam dira, and that's why it's only else, but it's only al gzera, not al requirement. So again, according to Buda, there was not a requirement for mezuzah. Sign Lishkas Pedron, sign the other Lishkas. No need for a mezuzah because they weren't really proper place of dwelling. According to Tanakama, the other ones not, but Lishkas Pedron, yes, because the Kohen dwelled there for 7 days. Ask the Shagazari, we know, famous idea, when is a person mechuyav to put up a mezuzah on a house, on an apartment, when he's there for 30 days. Now, very key point, not when he owns it himself. If he owns the house, owns the apartment, whatever it is, and he's there, even if he moves in on the first day, he's supposed to put up a mezuzah. We're talking about someone's renting, so renting doesn't have a status that Mamish considered established enough to put up a mezuzah, unless he's there 30 days. And by the way, that applies also only in Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. And so even less than 30 days, because he has a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, Pashtas, because he's supposed to be there, then we say that he puts up a mezuzah also right away before 30 days. But either way, the Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash Pashtas has no ownership there. He's not a Bailam. He's not planning to stay the long term. It's just 7 days a year. So if that's the case, the Chayra, why is it enough for a Chi of a Mezuzah? You don't have 30 days. It shouldn't be enough for a Mezuzah. Azay Frek the Gvuras Ari. Answers Gvuras Ari. Again, I didn't see it in the Gvuras inside. So it was brought down. It was paraphrased. But the way I understand the answer is pretty straightforward, that whenever there's a chiyuv to be somewhere, so there's a chiyuv for the Kohen Gadol to be in the Lishkas Pedron for 7 days before Yom Kippur, because he has to be there, that itself gives it a chashivas, and therefore it required a mezuzah. Again, going with the Tanakama. Rabbi just says there's no mezuzah. But Tanakama says that Lishkas Pedron had a mezuzah. Says Gemara, my taima, Rabbi Yehuda, what's Pshat Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rabbah. What's Rabbi Yehuda? Doesn't need a mezuzah. I mean, Tanakama was saying that, especially the way he explained the Gvuras Ari, it was an established place of dwelling for the Kohen Gadol for those 7 days, so it needs a mezuzah. What's the pshat? According to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't need a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbah, Kasav Rabbi Yehuda, Kobay She'enas L'Meisacham and G'Shamim, ain't advised. A house that's not meant to be all year round, a house that's not meant to be in both winter and summer, is not called a house. A house that's meant for 7 days, a chamber meant for dwelling in 7 days, is not called a house, and therefore it doesn't need a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, is that so? That's Rabbi's explanation in Rabbi Yehuda. Esvi Abayis, Abayi asks, V'aksivi Kesi, Beis Chayruf, Abayis Kais. First of all, a technical question. You tell me a house that's only meant to be for the winter or only for the summer, it's not called a house, it's got to be all year round. But the Pasuk describes, I'll strike the Beis Chayruf, the winter house, I'll base a kayetz with the summer house, along with the summer house. I'll strike both with just the summer house. Clearly, the pasuk is describing a winter house and a summer house, and it's calling them house. So we see the fact that it's only utilized in the winter and the summer, not taking away the status of being called a house. So what's pshat in Rabbah? Amar Leis, Rabbah can deflect the question and say, simple, base chayrif u base kayetz ikri, base stam ikri. The word bayis stam by itself wouldn't be applied to the summer house or the winter house. You'd call it the summer house, the winter house. You have to stick in those words. Senechami, that's cool. But the word bayistam, when I refer to a summer house, winter house, bayistam refers to a house of 12 months, a house of all year round, and that is what's needed for a chiyuv of mezuzah. That's according to, again, this old Rabbah in Rabbi Yehuda. Says Gemara, still, Esfi Abayis, Abayis, still the Kashan Rabbah. You're telling me that a temporary dwelling, according to Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't need a mezuzah? Ah, we have a mission of Maaser as follows. Sukkos Achag Bechag, the sukkah of Sukkos, on Sukkot, the Sukkot of Yantiv, not Stamahat, the Sukkot of Yantiv, on Yantiv, those 7 days of Yantiv, Rabbi the Mechayiv, is Mechayiv in what? So we'll see in a second, in a few dinim. One of the dinim, of course, is our din that we're discussing, a mezuzah. But the other dinim, the main din over there is Meiser, which is, the halacha is that once only Mechayiv Meiser, when the produce sees Roy Panei Abayis, when it sees the face of the house, when it comes in through the front door, then you Chayiv Shemus Meiser, you can't even take Derek Arai, you can't even take in a temporary manner, until you take off the Shemus Meiser. However, when it's out in the field still, if he hasn't been gathered yet, you let it eat, Derek Arai is permissible. Okay, now, what about the bringing the Tzvua into the Sukkah? Right? Sukkah, the person moves out of the house and moves into the Sukkah hut. What if he brings the Tzvua into there? Is that considered like a roi pnei abayis, does that trigger the chiyuv of ma'aser or not? Says Rabbi Yehuda, yes. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev v'cham pait l'cham pater. But that, of course, that part of the conversation so far is irrelevant to us. We're focused on mezuzah. The Tanela says when we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev be'erev mezuzah v'ma'aser. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev in erev in mezuzah and ma'aser. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev in these three things. So ma'aser is what we just discussed. Erev is, of course, before that erev. Of course, the idea of in a chutzer, you have to have all the people have to combine to join into an erev in order to carry in the chutzer midrash banan. You can't carry unless all the people join into an erev, all the people of the chutzer. Someone who has a sukkah hut is also considered a dweller, and he has to join into the erev. Otherwise, erev is messed up. That's erev, and the one that we need is mezuzah. Rabbi is saying that it is considered a house for mezuzah. A 7-day house of sukkah is considered a house for mezuzah. Rabbi is one that says a 7-day house is not considered 7 days of the kaigad the lishkas gazes is not considered lishkas pahadra, I should say, is not considered enough to make it a status to be chayv mezuzah. Seems to be a stira. Chite, maybe you'll tell me, not a problem. Over here, when we're talking about mezuzah, by the sukkah, it meant midrash banan. Chite, midrash banan, maybe tell me the sukkah, mezuzah, is midrash banan, but it can't be. Bishlam erev mezuzah, iklamei midrash banan. Meaning, let me say that better. When it says, Rabbi Yehuda's mechayev, he's mechayev all three, erev, mezuzah, and ma'aser, it means on a rabbinic level. So it says, it's good, erev and mezuzah, iklamei midrash banan. Mezuzah could be a chiv midrash banan, mezuzah itself. Erev also could be a chiv midrash banan. But ma'aser, you don't want to make chiv midrash banan as a ma'aser. It's a dangerous idea, because ma'aser, you're going to pair up produce that had a chiv darbanan with produce that had a chiv daraisa. It's some of it's pater, some of it's chayiv. You're going to be tiring from p'tur to chayiv, and you can't do that. You're mixing and matching p'tur and chayiv. Bishlam me'er mezuzah iklamei mim darbanan. Ela ma'aser iklamei mim darbanan. Are you going to make a gzer darbanan on ma'aser top of a bayis? I should be concerned. Dim asa frushim and chayiv p'tur and chayiv. You may come to take off shuvas and ma'aser from chayiv and p'tur and p'tur and chayiv. You don't want to do that. So that not make mistaver. I'm not saying there's never cases, but I'm mistaver that you'd have a ma'aser darbanan in this case. So you're back to the question. Most of talking about daraisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing that there was a mezuzah daraisa on the sukkah. So why over here by the lishkas pahadrim, by the kohen gadol, also 7 days, is he not agreeing to these mezuzah daraisa? Says Gemara, Ella Amar Abaye. That's a little question Abaye was asking on Rabbah. Rabbah said it's about a winter. Rabbah gave explanation that Rabbi Yehuda does not agree that a winter house or a summer house is chayv mezuzah. It's got to be all year round house. And I bring a question. They see very clearly sukkah yoles, which is not all year round house, does have a mezuzah. So Ella Rabbi Abaye sells a different pshat. Very interesting. The 7 days before Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol Lishkas Pahedrin, everyone agrees for him for those 7 days is a makam dira, and it needs a mezuzah. No questions asked. Rabbanan agree to Rabbi Yehuda, or I should say Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbanan. Rabbanan saying you need a mezuzah. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees over there, you need a mezuzah. There's no machlokes there. So where's the machlokes? Keep pliki b'shar masashana. Machlokes is the rest of the year outside those 7 days in that chamber, which was only used the 7 days before Yom Kippur. What's the status the rest of the year? Rabbanan say Rabbanan held masashana at the shiv, Gazrina shayim masashana at the shiva. Rabbanan say with geizer the rest of the year onto the 7 days when the Kohen Gadol has to be there, because we want to make sure that it'll have a mezuzah there for those 7 days. So therefore, if you're going to put it up to 7 days, take it down, we're scared it's going to come around next year and they won't reattach a mezuzah. And therefore, they made a gzera. You know what? Just keep it up all year round as a safety precaution. So it's a gzera darbanan to keep the mezuzah up all year round, even though you're not mechayev to. That is the Rabbanan Shita. Abai is explaining the Rabbanan. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is Savar, like Gazrina, Rabbi Yehuda says that no, we're not even guys, we're not concerned. The people remember to put up a mezuzah for the 7 days before Yom Kippur. So it comes out according to this, that both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chamim in the first Memra, Legabe Mezuzah, Legabe Lishkas Behedrin, they both agree that in the 7 days, you need a mezuzah. They both agree that the rest of the year, really make her, you don't need a mezuzah. And Machalikas says, were they geyser to put one up in the rest of the year, up to the 7 days? Rabbanan say yes, and Rabbi Yehuda says not. And that fits beautiful what we said before. According to Rabbanan, there's going to be a mezuzah all year round. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no mezuzah all year round. Sorry?
Is that a getter? It's like a fence? Because he's afraid that they won't put one up?
Correct. Exactly that. They're afraid that they won't. It's not something that the chamber that's being commonly used. You'll put the Kohen Gadol in the 7 days, and they'll feel that they won't put on a mezuzah. Now, it's interesting. By sukkah, what about by sukkah? By sukkah, the Gemara doesn't say what the halacha by sukkah is. Sukkah, we already had it. Rabbi Yehuda says by sukkah needs a mezuzah, even though it's only 7 days. Sukkah needs a mezuzah. So the first we get, that Abai is saying avada. In Rabbi Yehuda, again, you need a mezuzah, and in the Rabbanan. We're saying kulam le'pligi means everyone agrees you need a mezuzah the 7 days before Yom Kippur in Lishkas Pahedrin, and everyone agrees the 7 days of sukkah you need a mezuzah. Lechayra in the brisa that we quoted, Rabbi the Mishnah we quoted really from Maestros, Rabbi Yehuda said you need a sukkah, but the Rabbanim seem to argue. You have to say the Rabbanim of that Mishnah is taka. They argue is different than the Rabbanim that we quoted in our discussion. In our discussion over here, we have Machlekes Rida the Rabbanan, whether you need a mezuzah, Lishkas Pahedrin, Rabbanan say you need a mezuzah, and Rabbi Yehuda was more lax to say you don't need a mezuzah. Over there, Rabbi Yehuda saying you need, and the Rabbanan more lax, the Rabbi is going to have to learn, it's two different Rabbanans. You don't have to compare the two Rabbanans, those that argue Buddha in the first Pahedrin are not the same as those that argue Buddha in the second Pahedrin, that's you have to learn according to Abai's explanation. Amay, Rav still has an issue. Rav is bothered that it says in the Mishnah, Sukkos Chag B'Chag, and the Rabbanan said you're putter. And really what we just addressed, Rava doesn't like this deichik of an answer that we have machlekes in two places, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chamim. And he's telling me Rabbi Yehuda is the same, because the same name, of course, is Rabbi Yehuda, but the Chamim argue with him, and both Legabi Mezuzah. The Chamim argue with him Legabi Mezuzah by Lishkas Pedrin are not the same ones that argue Legabi the Mezuzah by Meiser. So Rava doesn't want to say that. Rabbi is forced to say that answer. Rava doesn't like it. Essentially, Rava is asking that L'chaira, this according to what you're saying, the Rabbanan should be saying that on Sukkot, there's a Chiv of Mezuzah on the 7 days of Sukkot, and the Rabbanan clearly argue. So what's the Pshat? Elam Rav Rav, if it says, here's the Machlaikis. B'shayim Mesashana Kula Alma Le'pligi Deptura. Only he goes the opposite approach. Everyone agrees the rest of the year, the Lishkas Pahedrin did not need a Mezuzah all year round. The Machlaikis even was Ki'pligi B'shiv Adavka on the 7 days before Yom Kippur. That's the Machlaikis. Which by the way, is how we understood it. We understood initially that the Rabbanu was saying you need a mezuzah there for the 7 days before Yom Kippur, and Rabbi Yehuda saying you don't even need even those 7 days for Yom Kippur, and all your Andesuli don't need. So that's how we originally understood it. We're going back to that mahalach. Okay. You asked, the problem was, what happened to Sukkah? Sukkah, time of the chud, the Mara explains that Sukkah is its own logic. Rabbi Yehuda, Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his reasoning. Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that he holds you need a mezuzah by Sukkah is because he goes to Shasai, and there's a nice chazara. I mean, chazara, we're about to have it in about 3-4 months from now. We had it over 7 years ago, but in the Friday, in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah, there's a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, whether Sukkah is supposed to be a Diras Arai, which is how we learn, it specifically shouldn't be 20 Amos, but we learn, because it's supposed to be Diras Avai, not Diras Keva. Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is Adarabba. It's Dafka supposed to be Diras Keva, not Diras Arai. So it's beautiful. By us, we're saying, again, that according to the Rabbanan, you need a mezuzah. Not only, you need a mezuzah, you need a mezuzah during the 7 days before Yom Kippur, you need a mezuzah. That's what we're saying by us. According to Rabbanan, according to Behuda, you do not need even those 7 days, and everyone agrees you don't need all year round. By Sukkah, they flip shitas. You know why? Because Behuda holds you need a Sukkah, derech Keva, and Keva needs a mezuzah, and the Chama say Sukkah is derech Arai, and therefore, Vaita doesn't need a mezuzah. Says the Mordzai, Sukkah time of the Chud, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, the Amar, Sukkah dius Keva, Behinam, Mechayv, and mezuzah, therefore, Mechayv, and mezuzah. Rabbanan Tamei, Rabbanan going to their own sheetas, just like, Dami Sukkah dius Arai, Behinam, that Sukkah dius Arai, Vilay, Mechayv, mezuzah, and therefore, it doesn't need a mezuzah. Okay, says Gemara Velishka Tam Lechud. Now going back to Lishka's Badrin, it goes back to the other logic. Rabbanan Savi Dira Bakar Yisot come up with the reason why the Rabbanan are saying you need to have a mezuzah in the Lishka. Rabbanan Savi, and what's better, Rabbi argues Lishka Tam Lechud. Rabbanan Savi Dira Bakar Shema Dira. Rabbanan say a Dira Bakar a Dira against one's will is called a Dira and requires a mezuzah. Rabbi Savar Dira Bakar Cha Leishma Dira says that Dira Bakar does not need a mezuzah. Umidrabbanu Dakino. So according to Buda, you don't need a mezuzah maker then. The Rabbanu are masakin it. Shnei Yomim Kain Gadol Chavish Beis Asurim. The Rabbanu masakin it. Though they shouldn't say Kain Gadol Chavish Beis Asurim. We point that that's far earlier when we started right in the beginning. That would be the gezeira. The reason to say the reason to have a mezuzah, even by Lishkas Pahedrin, according to Buda, you don't need a mezuzah by any of the chambers. But the reason to have at least by Lishkas Pahedrin is to demonstrate that it's not a jail. It is he's there willingly. He's not there against his will. He's there willingly. That was the point of having mezuzah more of a gezeira d'rabbanan. Which by the way leads us to a basic question. Does a jail, let's go in Eretz Yisrael, we have a Jewish bedin, at least let's assume they go al pi Torah mitzvahs, which they theoretically will be nice. So would a jail over there require mezuzah or not? Based on our Gemara, some of the Achrayim want to say very clearly that the jail would not need a mezuzah. A jail would not need a mezuzah because our Gemara seems to be saying that they shouldn't say it's a jail. By putting a mezuzah, it demonstrates it's not a jail. Very clearly, it would seem like jails don't need mezuzah. Lemais, the Bikur Yosef argues, he wants to say that no, it wouldn't be strictly right from our Gemara. But before we stop, it's one of the questions that we didn't bring up from a really could have asked an Amud Aleph already. We've been focused on the Lishkas Parhedrin, did it have a mezuzah or not? There was no focus put on the Lishkas Bira. The Lishkas Bira, which was where the Kayan who was burning the Paraduma. He isolated for 7 days before burning the Paraduma, Lishka Sabira. Why was there no discussion about that Lishka, which we also called earlier in the Masechta, Lishka's Beis HaEved, the Lishka of Stone. Why was there no discussion about mezuzah on that Lishka? Azay Frek, the Rishonim. Taisus gives two answers. Why not? Tais says that wasn't located in the Kadesh. The Paraduma was located in the Kadesh. We're focused on the Paraduma that's located in the Kadesh. Does that have a status that need to require mezuzah or not? Tafka that, but the Beis HaEved, which is not located in the Kadesh, therefore it wasn't such a Shaila. That is one answer of Taisus. Taisus gives a second answer, very practical answer, that the Lishka's Paraduma was used for the Kayan Gadol to dwell every single year for 7 days before Yom Kippur. Every year, 7 days from Yom Kippur. That goes year after year. So that's a very common, consistent, it's only 7 days a year, but it's a consistent usage. But the Lishkas Beis HaEved was used only for the 10 Paradumas, roughly. How many Paradumas? 9, 10, 11 Paradumas. And therefore, that was used sparingly, less of a Shiloh over there. We'll pause over here and pick up for you tomorrow, Mitzvah.